Hello and welcome to our October Exceptional Speaker Bonus Call, powered by Exceptional Connections. I'm Cindy O'Neill-Dady, the founder and chief connector at Exceptional Connections Networking, as well as the quarterly educational series for networking mastery skill shops. Our Exceptional Speaker Bonus Calls highlight our monthly spotlight speakers who graciously agree to share their brilliance with our ECN community and beyond. I'm Cindy O'Neill-Dady. I'm super excited again to be highlighting Laugh Tech founder and an all-around great guy, Brian Trendler. Brian was the 20-minute spotlight speaker at our recent October 9th ECN luncheon, and we are honored to have him again share his inspiring talk, Find Your Funny, Why Using Humor is Good Business Sense. So to set the expectation on this call, Brian has generously agreed to share for the next 20, 35 minutes, and we will then open up the call for Q&A, so be sure to write down your questions and save them until after Brian's talk. And also be sure to stay on the line until the end. We'll plan to end by 1 p.m., and that's Pacific time, and we'll also be sharing with our listeners ways to connect with Brian, as well as exciting opportunities being offered to our ECN community. So Brian is known as the funny guy. I don't think I did that as well as Debbie Page, but actually he takes being humorous quite seriously. While there may be not be a degree for such expertise, he's well-versed in helping business owners, sales teams, authors, public speakers, and more to find their own mix of humor to become better, more confident, and more motivated. His quick wit, charm, and command of any stage makes him an experience to watch and a fantastic person to live from. And we experienced that at our last luncheon, so personally. Through Laugh Tech, his clients not only get to know their own skill sets, but also realize that they are already doing many of the methods unintentionally. So the focus, the practice, the delivery, in not only the spoken word, but gestures, body language, visuals, and space usage are key to becoming the best speaker one can be. Laugh Tech's motto is laugh, listen, learn, try. So Laugh Tech has been showcased on the local NBC affiliate King 5 TV morning news show, 97.3, What's Ringing Rachel's Bell, excerpt on the Ron and Don show, and multiple podcasts. It is my great pleasure to turn this call over to the just plain awesome and always inspiring Brian Trendler. Take it away, Brian.
Well, thank you, Cindy. And you're officially hired. Everywhere I go from now on, I need you to introduce me, okay?
Ah, well, you're very kind.
Because that was beautiful. All we need is some intro music, and we're good to go.
Lovely.
Yeah, thank you everybody who has taken the time to even, you know, be on this call or listen to it after the fact. I'm honored to have a chance to, you know, share some of the things that actually my co-founder Marcel Allen and I have experienced over the last 3 years. We created the company with the sole intent of getting people to understand that humor is okay. Humor is something that we should all embrace in business, in personal lives, and in situations where it's really, really needed and you see that it's absent. So what we did is we began to pull primarily out of my head, but also from a collaborative, you know, series of sessions, curriculum that, you know, Cindy, as you know, we have in the form of workshops as well as individual laughter coach sessions. And then the same type of thing can be curveballed, if you will. It can be applied in corporate scenarios. So we literally teach people how to become better, more memorable speakers using humor. And it sounds like it's all fun and games, but realistically, it's really hard. One of the key things that I think Marcel and I have learned is that as we grow up, we all start out as innocents, you know, as innocent children. I always joke and say there's no such thing as a, you know, not funny baby, but over time, things just happen, whether it's society or life or, you know, where you're, you know, the environment you have when you're growing up or the second you hit school and you're bullied and you're tossed around or you get into a workplace. And humor is actually removed from the quotient on a regular basis. And it's just a shame. It really is a great and powerful tool that we found can get people to get on the same page when it comes to a marketing message, or if nothing else, find ways to improve and inspire and lead people that you're working with or that are working for you. So it's really just been an absolute joy over the last 3 years to give people the opportunity to kind of discover their mix, discover what types of humor work for them, when honestly they realize quite often that they're already doing it. They may not be doing it well, but they're already doing it in some capacity. It's just never been taught in this fashion. And then when they realize that it can be used as an actual skill set, a humor weapon, if you will, that you can wear across your chest like a bandolier proudly and bring it into any type of scenario, it's an incredibly powerful tool, especially if you're a leader, if you're in sales, or if you're just an entrepreneur and you want to get out and about and you've got a new book or you've got a product or a widget, and it's the best thing ever. If you're not enthusiastic about it, there's something wrong. And we always say that, boring isn't a dirty four-letter word. It's also not a four-letter word, but if you recognize that you're boring or you have something that you can grasp onto and improve upon, that makes you coachable. And those are the amazing people that we've had the opportunity to work with over the last 3 years. So what we do is we have a number of different ways that we can deliver our LaughTech curriculum and our coaching. We have the corporate team environments where we can go into any business and teach them how to become, better and more cohesive within each other, within the sales environment at a location. We've found quite often that you've got, 20 people in a room that have a different way to describe that product or service. That can be a problem. That can actually be one of the cause of rifts and sales, ups and downs. But, we also find at times that it's the management, it's the leadership that needs to learn how to not bring negativity into the meetings, not bring deprecating, teaching methods or speaking methods to the group, because there's nothing worse than putting someone on the spot and not having the skill set to sort of yes and your way out of it. So we can teach corporations, small to medium-sized businesses, how to become better communicators, both with each other. Then, of course, if they're working on finessing a message for outside of the office walls, we can get people to become better salespeople, ideally better communicators using humor. I said before that it's great to use it to land somebody as a person first and an opportunity second. But we tend to take it one step further and say, have you ever bought something from someone you don't like? And ironically, when we ask that in a room full of people, quite often you'll see one or two hands pop up, but that's not a happy hand. That person's not happy that they have to admit to that, because we want to buy from people that we like. So we help teach those techniques to make folks more likable, more approachable, and better communicators in that sense. We've got the individual laughter coach sessions where it can be, both of us working with an individual. That can be a CEO level all the way down to a brand new salesperson. Can also be someone who's looking for work, looking for opportunity. Maybe they're not interviewing well and they have a sneaky suspicion that they're boring. We'd love to help that person. And then I mentioned we have the workshops. That's public. That's open for the public. We have a 101 series and a 201 series. The only caveat is you've got to take the 101 in order to get into the 201, because humor's hard, dad burn it. And it's really important to get your feet wet with the 101 series to then be able to really go, pedal to the metal for the 201 series. We also do MC services and comedy nights. We can help run charitable events and opportunities where you need to have butts in chairs and have them entertained and keep everything flowing. Last but not least, what our focus is, we want to find and identify entrepreneurs, sales teams, managers, people who are doing public speaking and want to, increase their skill set, try something new. Maybe they're boring as heck, but they're already traveling around the country, right? Well, if they try humor-based techniques, you can get a whole new audience. You can open up a whole new demographic. And then last but not least, Cindy, I don't know if you're allowed to chime in here or not, but we do improv exercises. We have so much fun teaching people yes and, the ability to kind of work your way out of any situation. And then curveball, and we have literally business-based improv opportunities where a word is thrown at you and you've got to take that word and just run with it and start talking about it. And then in a couple seconds later, you have another word and you grab that word and you either integrate it into what you're talking about or stop and tangent off into a new direction with that new word. It teaches resiliency, especially in the workplace. And it's so much fun to watch people that can normally be kind of stiff, especially in a work environment with HR in the room or management in the room. Everyone's laughing like school children, and they have the best time. And then, of course, depending on the situation, depending on the group, we do rants and raves, which is a phenomenal opportunity. I don't think we did it last week, Cindy, but we normally have someone swear on a LaughTech sticker, pretending it's like a LaughTech Bible, and we say what happens in LaughTech stays in LaughTech. That's okay. HR has signed off on it. And the rants and raves can be so funny because maybe you need to just get something off your chest about the commute you had, or maybe the sales training that you just had, maybe it wasn't the best, or maybe it was fantastic, and you want to rant or rave about it. It's an incredible cathartic experience to see a bunch of people in a room or in a conference type of environment just let loose, and then watch the humor and the giggling that, carries along with that. So it's really been an amazing experience as far as the opportunities that we've had. And any chance that we can get in front of folks that recognize that humor is a tool that they want to learn to embrace, it's really important for us to meet those people and have the opportunity. The other thing that I'll cover is we have taught every age group you can imagine. There's been young teens. There's been people that are just out of college or still in college. And then it's been as old as in the 70s. But we had a 10-year-old recently come through our class, and she was the daughter portion of the mother-daughter team that went through the 101 session. And I just have to say, it was complete and total justification in our minds that this is something that we really want to get into schools. We want to get this into school districts because both Marcel and I believe very heavily in the power of laughter and to get kids to laugh at themselves first and then with each other later is just an incredible gift to think about getting it out there more and more. I have a dirty, sordid little past working in the humor industry. I did do stand-up comedy back in the early 90s. And for starters, I'm glad there's no proof. That was back in VHS days when a camera was on someone's shoulder and it weighed 80 pounds. And my goodness, I'm glad that there's nothing out there. But I used humor throughout my entire life as a shield. I kind of specialized in the self-deprecating humor, the ability to kind of get out of any situation by making them laugh. It's like the smoke and mirrors thing or the smoke and poof thing. You make them laugh, and then when the smoke clears, you're gone. You're already running back into the forest. But I also use it as a tool in business to get people to laugh. And again, when you're likable, you tend to be able to lead and or, earn business in a sales type of environment. When I met Marcel, she brought humor to the table from a humor heals perspective. She's been through a lot, and the ability to laugh and be resilient when faced with certain odds, it's incredible to see a person like her be able to, embrace laughter. And that's such a solid and consistent message we have throughout any of our sessions or engagements. And it's been really, really amazing to have people come up to us afterwards and share their stories as well. And it just means the world. So Cindy, I talk fast as well. I didn't know if there were any questions that people might have or you might have that I can respond to in kind.
All right. So, yeah, absolutely. I can open up to Q&A if you're done with your content or if you want to engage in any, demonstrations. So I'm unmuting everybody right now. So,
well, yeah, definitely. I'm open for any questions from any direction, that would basically be a live curveball. If anyone wants to throw me a curveball, please feel free to.
So curveball meaning have you take off on something, or how does that work?
What I meant by that is just if anybody had any random questions that they want to throw me in regard to, you know, LaughTech and how we do what we do, please feel free to throw it my way. I could do an actual curveball, and I'm more than willing to if people want to literally shout out a word and I can start talking about it. But I'm not sure that really works in this type of environment. So probably just questions if folks have any.
Could you go into, before anybody jumps in, a mm-hmm. little more depth, because you did it at our luncheon, the different kind of yes and, the rant and rave, and there was one more that I didn't catch. What were those three kind of techniques that you recommended?
Yeah, thank you. That was actually what I ended with at the end there. It's yes and
right.
Is the first improv technique that we go into. And then curveball is the second one. And the last one is the rant and or the rave. So yes and is actually more Marcel's forte, to be honest with you, because it's always been hard to train even my own brain this level of resiliency. But if you were to have two people standing right next to each other and the first person says, would you like to go to the zoo? Just, you know, completely random. Would you like to go to the zoo? And that next or that other person standing there with a frown on their face and their arms are crossed and they say no. Well, you can imagine that shuts you down pretty quickly. And if you say, well, would you like to go to the park? And they say no. It's like, okay, that's great. So if you're in a sales environment and you're used to asking open-ended questions that can then further a deeper conversation, if you say yes to whatever question's posed and you immediately respond with, and can we bring a picnic? Then the next person has to say yes. And with that picnic, can we have, and they might say sandwiches or Kool-Aid or whatever the case is. And that communication then goes back and forth, basically kind of like a hot potato, goes back and forth between those two people a number of times. And not only is it funny to watch people do this because it can be really uncomfortable, but if they forget to end it with a question, the whole, you know, can we bring this or that, and the other person then has to really quickly figure out, okay, how do I yes and this, right? Or if they unintentionally go a slightly negative direction, you could say, yes, and I understand that the grass might be wet, but, and then they come up with another positive-based, you know, response, so that exercise can go back and forth. It's a great way to get people to respond when there's no coffee in the room or tea. It really is a metaphor for life, honestly. I know that sounds hokey, almost like a Hallmark card, but we must say yes to what is happening in front of us. And from an improvisational standpoint, if you get good at yes-anding, it helps communication with, you know, business, personal, I always joke and say loved ones, unloved ones, children especially. So that's sort of yes-and in a nutshell. A curveball is kind of what I mentioned before. It's when you get up in front of the group, or you can sit in your chair, whatever the case is, and someone just gives you a word. And that word could be goldfish. And you start talking about how much you love goldfish. And goldfish are cute. And they sit in a bowl. And they're kind of puffy looking. Sometimes they got bubbly eyes and everything else. And they just sit there looking at you funny. And then as you're talking about goldfish, someone throws out a word, cactus. And then you have to think about how do you integrate a goldfish and a cactus so you can combine those two words into a new sentence of some sort, or you can stop talking about goldfish, go into the cactus direction. And the point is you can tangent off if you want to, but once you get really good at curveball, you can immediately integrate cactus or cacti, excuse me, into your conversation about goldfish. And trust me, that might get kind of humorous. So that's really applicable, especially in the sales environment, when you never know what your customer is going to ask you. Or if you're a public speaker and you're up on stage and you make the one mistake that they do all the time, which is they open up the floor to questions because you never know how far out left field that curveball is going to come pitching at you 100 miles an hour. And you have to not only immediately catch, absorb, and send it back to them what their question was, but maybe you have to yes and it as well. You see, so there's a level of integration as you get good with these skill sets. And then last but not least, the rants and raves, as I mentioned, they're just incredibly cathartic. And if you're in an environment with a group of people where it's okay to maybe a little surface-level language as well as just get huffy-puffy over something, it is incredible the amount of dopamine and adrenaline, and your entire body goes through the cardiovascular experience with the accelerated heart rate as you complain about something that's happened. Or if you rant about something amazing you saw two people doing outside of the office supporting each other when someone slipped off a curb and those two Cub Scout kids came out of nowhere because I think they're ninjas and, you know, helped that person across the street and it's the most amazing thing and it's reinforced your belief in society, whatever. Raves and rants tend to be pretty fast-paced. And if you do that one at a time throughout a room or if you do it with the person you're commuting to the office with, you're going to feel better afterwards, trust me. So those are some of the key improv, you know, humor-based techniques that we teach people. And this is applicable at every business you can think of, with the caveat being as long as HR signs off on it, and any type of, you know, way to get to the core of the message when you're working with folks to find that humor, find their own mix, and use that to become a better, you know, underlying, you know, whatever, a better speaker, a better presenter, a better humorist in general, or just a better communicator. So those are the improv techniques.
Love it. Thank you for that explanation. That's great. So anyone have any questions or ideas on maybe how Brian can demonstrate any of those techniques? This is a great opportunity to chime in and have access to Brian to ask your questions or give your input. So Brian, tell me in business, maybe a story about how you've been able to use these techniques in kind of a scenario where you were in a sales kind of environment and how you were able to leverage them and the results from them. Is there anything that comes to mind that you can share with our listeners?
Sure. Let me ask for one clarification. Do you mean me personally or what we've done as LaughTech in an organization?
Well, either way, whatever comes to mind. Just, you know, it would be kind of fun to hear a story of how these actual techniques were used in a real life setting, not just a training setting.
Definitely.
I'm putting you on the spot there.
Yeah, no, it's perfectly. I'm going to refer back to my other company for just a moment. This is not a shameless plug. As a graphic designer for the past 25 years, my company's name is We Fix Ugly, okay? So right off the bat, I'm already combating people that either react positively to that or occasionally negatively. But at the same time, just like with humor, if you recognize you're falling flat, maybe you can, you know, envelop some skill set or develop some skill set of humor to make yourself a better presenter. If people's brand is ugly or their business card or their posters or their color choices or whatever, if it's ugly, I have to very quickly teach them the reasons why and get them to yes and themselves out of the situation, for lack of better words. So that's always been a situation where very quickly I have to get people laughing. Because the story of, you know, how my name came about, it's actually Trend Designs, just like my last name, Brian Trendler. Well, after Trend Designs was formed back in 1995, after so many years of marketing and going to events and everything else, finally, I was at another networking event in Bellevue, and my then graphic web designer and myself were sitting at the bar with everyone else trying to network, and this gal, who was a stranger to both of us, came up to us and literally just said, "Oh my God, you're the ones that fix ugly, aren't you?" And it was the funniest thing because both Dan and I just sat there for a moment, and then the light bulb kind of flickered above our heads, and we both stood up with our superhero positions, and we're like, yes, yes, we do. Yes, we are. And we both went to back to our respective homes that night, and the next day we reconnected again, and we're like, we got to rebrand. That sucks better than anything we've ever tried. So we kind of had to yes and ourselves out of that situation. And it was just funny because so many people, after so many years, we found out, were literally sitting there going, dude, did you know your last name sounds a lot like your business name? And that's where you just kind of face palm it and say, oh, my gosh, okay, it's time for a change. So we did. We completely changed that up. And it was really funny because, of course, ideally when I tell that story, it gets a laugh as well. But then people disconnect with you. Then they also realize that maybe they suffer from a little bit of ugly and we can help. So from a personal standpoint, that's where – you know, I or we have been able to kind of bounce back from situations, almost curveball-like, where we did not expect that, and it was really, really funny. From the standpoint of how LaughTech has made a kind of a positive impact in a very almost sketchy situation was when we were at Microsoft. About 3 months ago, we were part of the digital transformation event at Microsoft, and we were brought in to be the facilitators. So this is kind of an MC slash workshop environment where we were going to be in front of Fortune 1000 founders from across the globe. So they're literally, we walk into a room. We were there early, so we were able to set up as these people were finishing their then previous session, but they weren't done yet. And they were literally spitting fire at each other, and they were angry and they were frustrated because these were the professionals that either had already incorporated technology into their services and infrastructure, such as artificial intelligence and bots and IoT, all these scary words that some people don't know anything about. But these folks that have either done it successfully or are trying to and were having problems. And Microsoft, I can say this now, at that point, they were super behind. So they got all these people in to basically, you know, give away the farm as far as what they did to be successful, what their fears were, et cetera. So we go into the environment with stickers that we give everybody, you know, little tiny stickers you can stick on window glass and or in this case whiteboard, so the window clings, if you will, as well as little heart star-shaped circles and skull-shaped circles to answer, I think it was 7 or 8 questions on each side of the whiteboard, but they were to answer by using an animal drawing. So if the question was, I fear that I will be replaced by artificial intelligence, that might sound funny, but these are people who have lived the nightmare or are potentially living the dream. And it was entertaining and fun to create this research for Microsoft because we gave them the clings. And everyone's giggling because one was a snail, one was an ostrich, and one was a starfish. And all of this is from Marcel's genius because the snail, what does the snail do from a metaphoric standpoint? The snail is slow. It gets from point A to point B. Doesn't take how long or doesn't care how long it takes to get there, but it just, you know, goes forward and knows he or she is going to do it. So that's one metaphor, the snail. The ostrich is the most beautiful bird, the biggest bird, strongest bird. But guess what? It hates conflict, so its head was drawn in the sand. And then the starfish, from a technology standpoint, works great with others, has multiple hands and multiple, you know, divisions, but it can cut off an arm. It can lose an entire division to grasp artificial intelligence, and it'll grow something back and become even better. So they had the opportunity to talk about whether they're the regenerate type of, you know, starfish or any of the other animals. They put their answers up just by way of using an animal and then had opportunities to talk about it when called upon. Because if one of the questions was ostrich, 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 starfish, ostrich, we're obviously going to call on the person that was the starfish and then have an ostrich respond to what he or she said. So we got them to use this funny sense of kind of being like school kids giggling and laughing and enjoying sticking up the metaphoric answers. And then with the stars or skulls, as people were talking about why they answered the questions the way they answered them, they were charged with putting a little tiny skull every time next to the person's name that they heard something that they didn't agree with, or a little tiny star every time they loved it. So for Marcel and I to get up in front of Fortune 1000 people, it was between, I think, 10 and 15 folks, a lot of power in that room. And to watch them revert to giggly little school children enjoying talking about the wins and losses and the fears about all this digital transformation, and then again having Microsoft in the background giggling evilly as they recorded everything to use it and tear it apart later from a data perspective, that was a fascinating experience to teach them how we can do it. So that's a business application example of where it was just really fun to make them laugh and smile and learn.
I love it. I love it. Yes, you shared those during your talk, and I think those are just brilliant, you know, just using the metaphor, animal metaphors, animal, bird, starfish, snail metaphors. And also, just, you know, it just shows the power of laughter being able to diffuse uncomfortable and tension-filled situations. So, you know, I think that's really compelling.
Thank you.
I think it also puts the guard down on people so that they're, because if they feel like they're not offending somebody by just being funny, then, you know, then actual things can come out, you know, things
Absolutely.
Can be talked about. So I think it does put your guard down, and it relaxes you enough to be able to let your imagination go and be able to share, and then somebody put up a star and, you know, I'll be good. So I think it's a fabulous idea. It's just a great strategy, I think.
Thank you. Well, again, I'm probably going to get in trouble for mentioning Marcel's name so much, but she was the actual brainchild behind this. It came from using metaphors in a sequence that she was working on as she was participating in one of our workshop sessions. And it also, prior to that, came from a rant, you know, came from just venting and verbalizing stuff that was on her mind. And then we realized, oh my goodness, this is exactly what our client, Microsoft, needs to get this information out of these people. So it was a remarkable experience.
Wow. How fun is that? And I bet they were super impressed too. And, you know, because that is a way that they probably had a block. I'm imagining a lot of companies have, there's a block between HR and employees to really get them to share openly. But when you do so in a fun way, I think people are more, you know, more transparent, more vulnerable.
Definitely, definitely. I highly agree. You know, plus with the actual six methods of humor that we teach, whether it's the surface level 101, the in-depth 201, or the even deeper 301, we literally teach how to create a scene, how to use sounds, how to, you know, verbalize, vocalize a story, how to use the sequence technique, how to pull from sensation, and then how to marry them all together in what we call silly. So those are those six methods that if people take this and embrace it, they can take any subject and make it more memorable using their own style and mix of humor. So it's really, we think, a powerful set of tools.
So share with us again, so of the six, it's theme, sound, sequence, silly. What were the other two?
I even get them out of order. It's scene, because you can't speak without setting a scene, quite frankly.
Right.
Sound, because you need to be heard, and you have the benefit of also vocal variety, imitations, pace, timbre, decibel use, etc. Story, if you choose to become a more in-depth storyteller to bring in those other techniques. Sequence, which again is my business partner's favorite, which is a simple, and a swivel. So you start off with something like, well, you know, you're from Renton, if, and you get kind of a good, better, best reaction. So slightly funny, more funny, and then the last one is the swivel, which is like a 180 to really get someone to laugh and connect with you. Very hard for me, ironically, because I'm an improv speaker by nature. And then sensation is number five, which is where you pull from emotions, pull from nonfiction, pull from your experience, your childhood, whatever the situation is, to get people to relate to you on an almost emotional and like a visceral level. There was a student a year and a half ago that called it the old Yeller sensation, which is everyone knows that Old Yeller dies in the end. If not, spoiler alert, sorry, Old Yeller dies in the end. But there's not a dry eye in the house when people watch that movie, right? You can do the same thing if you're telling a story about how you survived XYZ or what you went through, etc. If people connect on the emotional level, you've got them, especially if they're a customer. You may have them for life. And then silly is, once again, kind of the marriage between all of them. It's how you then incorporate your mix of humor into a successful delivery method, whether that's video, whether that's face-to-face, you know, one-to-one or one-to-many, or in this case, one-to-a-broadcast. So, great stuff.
Nice.
Wow.
So these are the steps that you guys teach in in your training.
In the trainings, well, the workshops, the laughter coach sessions, or the corporate environments.
Okay. And you incorporate, you just elevate the training from the 101 to the 201 using the same steps? Or is that part of the 101?
That's actually a great question. So, yeah, we don't ever abandon things. So people who have been through the 101 pretty much get a pretty good idea on what they want to lead forth with and pursue deeper. So the 201 allows them to take, you know, maybe two to three of those techniques and then really develop solid material, as well as requiring them videotape that material every single week so they can immediately see what we're hearing as well as hear it. So they develop those techniques that they prefer even further. Actually, I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. If there was something else I was supposed to say, tell me.
No, that's right. That's great. Yeah. You answered that perfectly. So, okay, well, in closing, what would you recommend to somebody as the best way to kind of put their toes in and just like explore that funny bone that they have that they may have not used since they were a young kid? Because I know I have a son, and he's got quite the sense of humor, and he uses it in business very successfully. And yeah, a lot of people couldn't get away with what he does. But that's, you know, that's kind of part of his secret sauce, if you will. But some people haven't really developed that muscle. What would you recommend as a way for others of us who maybe tend to be a little more serious to explore that?
That really is a fantastic question. So we all know there's only so many hours in the day, right? And there's only so much availability we have with our schedule. So I can answer that in actually three ways. Anybody who wants to experience what it's like to dive in, even if you're just dipping your toes into these particular methods, come to a workshop. So if you're local, come to a workshop on one of our Tuesday night sessions. So that is the easiest answer. Our Workshop 101 series, all the information is up on our Facebook page or our existing website. The flip side to that is that if a Tuesday night from 6 to 8 doesn't work for somebody, they could go to any one of our comedy evenings, which we have two venues, and I can share that information later online. Two locations twice a month. It's literally bringing Pacific Northwest comedians up on stage, having fun, your typical comedy evening. But then Marcel does some of the improv at the end. So people out of the blue that have said they're wallflowers have gotten up in front of anywhere between 20 and 50 people and done a curveball exercise and had a great time. And there's nothing like feeling like you're going to puke on stage to get people's adrenaline flowing. And they do it. And the people who you think would be the wallflowers are the ones wanting to get up. And it's so cool to see that. And maybe they're not even, you know, experienced Laugh Tech alumni at that point. They're any Tom, Dick, or Jane that wants to get up, but they get to experience that and have fun. And of course, it's a supportive, sometimes drunk, audience and environment where they're laughing and they're clapping, which feels so good. The other option, of course, is, and Cindy, I don't know how much I mentioned this the other week, but we have an online private group called the Facebook Lounge. We're really, really proud of this, and it's a community that we're growing. It's a flat $25 a month or $250 if you want to save a little bit of money. It's the Laugh Tech Lounge via Facebook, and you have access to both Marcel's brain and my brain, as well as a number of our keynote speakers we've had go through our corporate events, even some of the comedians, but also the current headcount in the lounge. It's not huge right now, but we're growing it, and this is for people across the entire country, heck, the world, thanks to technology, that want to get advice on what they're doing, how they're doing, or, hey, does this sound funny? Or let me shoot a quick video screenshot of my first three slides of PowerPoint. Is this too much? Because we don't just tell people, teach them how to become funny. We can help them use the space, use vocal variety, you know, cut down the amount of text on slides, have it be minimalist, high on imagery. So as you're presenting, you're pulling from your memory that's been stimulated by the image that you see. So there's multiple ways we can provide support, and the growing community online has been great because people are, you know, we have contests. We have little tiny, like the Laugh Tech Bingo. We take people through. If you fill out the bingo board over a period of time, you're going to become a better speaker because you're completing the little tasks that help get you your speaker's kit or your media kit or some B footage to make available online, all those types of things. Those are resources we offer through the Facebook Lounge. So those are kind of the best three options that come to mind when someone just wants to try, and they're going to have a great time doing it no matter which ones that they pursue.
Awesome. Well, great resources there. So since we still have Marcel on the line, I would like to throw a curveball for you guys. So would you and Marcel, if she's available, like to do a little kind of a little interchange to give us an example of how the pros do it?
I think we should just make Marcel do it, right?
What's going on?
I don't know. We're volunteering you, Marcel.
I love to attempt humor. It's quite humorous most of the time.
So I just thought it would be kind of fun if you guys are up for it to demonstrate to us one of your techniques. So either the, you know, the yes and, the rant and rave, the curveball, and just kind of for our listeners, have them hear from experts on how to be able to have like a just a fun and engaging interaction. Oh. Are you guys up for that?
Yeah, absolutely. If I may follow that up with a quick direction, Cindy, if you're willing to come up with say four or five words that you throw at maybe Marcel first or me first, we can take a turn and do a curveball exercise. And these can be the most random words ever, and we have to put a spin on it. And you can interrupt us at any time with the new word, and we'll just take it and run with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. And the only thing I would want clarification on is when to throw those words at you. Just
Maybe after 20 or 30 seconds.
Okay.
And then if anybody is on the line and is muted, if you unmute and share your laughter with us, that will make it more fun. So if you're listening,
oh great!
Unmute,
yes, I've
unmuted. You giggle because that
perfect. I've unmuted everybody. So
because I'm very fragile and need to hear laughter.
You need encouragement, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I'm writing down my words here.
Do you want Marcel to go first or me?
Ladies first.
Yes. There you go.
Who's gonna go first?
Marcel,
tell us about ladybugs. Ladybugs are my favorite little insect. So tell
us. Ladybugs are adorable. They are little red creatures with little black dots that look like they could be earrings because they're so cute. apparently, Exceptional Connections was branded from a ladybug inspiration. I see where you got it, Cindy. It's perfect. Ladybugs are great. They are wonderful, and I'm searching for a new word, but...
Helicopters. Tell me about helicopters.
Dude, if I was a ladybug, I would find a helicopter, and I would go from Seattle to Bellingham to Canada, back to Seattle, and I would need really strong string to somehow survive that ride. But if I was a ladybug, actually, being a ladybug is a lot like being in a helicopter all the time. They get to fly and spin and take off probably 20 times a day. Is there a new word?
All right. So how about dragonfly?
Dragonflies. I think if dragonflies were to try to chase the ladybug on the on the helicopter, I think the dragonfly might win. I'm not sure who's faster. I think if the dragonfly and the ladybug were to be in a boxing ring, the dragonfly might win because they are much bigger and stronger and more colorful. But the ladybug's fierce, and they're capable. You know, they might have a chance to wiggle around that big dragonfly. But I don't know. But I would definitely pay to watch a dragonfly and a ladybug go at it.
And what happens? What happens if we throw a submarine into the mix?
Oh my gosh, I would drown. I don't know. Do they make scuba gear small enough for a ladybug? Like, really, is that a thing? Is it possible to put? Oh, I don't know. I think they might just have to watch from above. I don't know.
Yeah.
They need some serious inventors to do insect scuba gear maintenance.
All right, good job, Marcel. Well done.
Wonderful. So I realized I was giving you all these sky, you know, words, and we needed to drop you into the water there.
I know, right? But see how I created scenes with the different words, even though it was kind of funny. But the scenes themselves became humorous because they.
Oh, you guys are great. Thank you. That was fun. Thanks for being up for this impromptu kind of demonstration of, you know, of that curveball technique.
Welcome.
That was great.
Yeah, so the next time you're mad at your friend, just be like, let's play curveball. That's so much more fun.
Well, and so, you know, it occurs to me, like, basically what you're doing is just keep it going, right? Keep the conversation going. Keep those thoughts flowing. Create that thread that connects things. And sometimes it's a thread that makes sense. Sometimes it's just totally, you know, off the wall. But yeah, what a fun technique that is.
Yeah. And
thank you for that.
Fresh and relaxed. You're welcome. Now I think it's Brian's turn. Or should we make Cindy do it?
Oh no.
Oh yes.
Well, I'm up for it, but Brian's got to close.
Yeah, I'm up for it. If you want to give me a curveball, if you do though, Cindy, just blurt out the next word. Don't preface it at all. Just toss it at me.
Okay. Well, I need. I'm gonna have.
And then Brian's gonna close.
Okay. Okay. Let's do that. I'm gonna have somebody else give Brian words. So, Marcel? Do you want to do Brian's words?
How about a stranger on the line? Someone that doesn't know him very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gail, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. All right. House,
okay.
Brian.
Okay.
House.
Well, house?
House.
House. Okay. Well, let me tell you, everybody, I live in a house, and I am very proud of the house that I live in because it is covered in Kermit the Frog bright green because I used to run
Tarantula.
A daycare. And, you know, the greatest thing about daycares nowadays is if it comes with bonus tarantulas, it's an amazing way to fill the room with screaming little children running around trying to hide, step on furniture, hold up their
car,
pampers. And, you know, the funny thing about getting tarantulas to a venue is if you ask them to face the morning commute when they're driving, thank goodness they have eight legs because one leg is on the burger, one leg is on the McMuffin, one leg is giving a one-arm salute to the drivers next to them, and then at least two are steering and probably one or two on the brakes and the acceleration.
A boat.
So, yeah. What's that?
A boat.
A boat.
B-O-A-T.
Well, you know, sometimes – after the, well, okay, let's be honest. When the big one hits, even though I live in Uptown Bothell, I'm going to have waterfront property. So those tarantulas, they're probably not going to be able to drive in their cars. They're probably going to be boat-based. So there's nothing more rewarding than seeing an entire throng of ginormous arachnids surfing across the water in their high-powered Evan Rude boat.
Yes.
They come to shore to populate my daycare with eight-leggedy goodness.
Oh, great. Woo! That's a tall order to follow here.
I'm sure glad this is being recorded.
Oh, Lord, help us all.
That's fun. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the words. I'm kind of mad at you now, but thank you.
Yeah, you caught him off guard there.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's terrible.
That's brilliant. So should we end here or should I attempt it?
We want to see you.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That's cute that you think you're getting out of it, Cindy.
Cindy, your first word is giraffe.
Giraffe. I love giraffes. Giraffes have such a wonderful vantage point. So they get to look at the top of everybody's heads and be able to see if they've, you know, they have curly hair or straight hair or if they've been washed their hair.
Sippy straw.
What's that?
Chewing gum.
Say it again. Chewing gum. Chewing gum. Oh, my goodness. Chewing gum is not something that giraffes like to step on. Because when they lift their leg, the gum sticks to it, and it keeps them from being able to, you know, trot across the Sahara and be able to enjoy the environment, the African plains. And chewing gum.
Submarine.
Submarine. Submarines. Submarines are kind of scary, actually. I would rather be in the air than under the water. But you know what? The good thing about submarines is if there's a leak, you just grab your chewing gum from the bottom of the giraffe's foot, and there you go. You got a way to be able to stop the damage.
Roses.
Roses are a girl's best friend, and I'm just finishing up a call, and my roofer is coming into my office, but so I can't really pay attention to what he's saying or doing, but I will in a moment. But roses are something that are very a girl's best friend and always get a guy out of trouble.
Good job.
How's that?
That's awesome.
All right. So thank you, guys, and can I be with you in a minute, Jeremy? All right. So I just want to finish this call, and thank you guys so much for just being awesome and fun, and thank you, Brian and Marcel and Gail and everybody on the call for just being, you know, being open to be playful. So humor is just plain good business sense. And thank you for being able to just help us remind us of that. So before I end the call, though, I just want to circle back and have you go to laughtechnw.com to learn more about LaughTech and the different processes and systems and techniques that that Brian and Marcel are teaching. And thank you guys for being a contribution to the community and opening up a new kind of way to be able to relate to people and diffuse uncomfortable situations and just plain have fun.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
You're welcome. Hey, hold on to if you're on the call, don't leave yet, but wait, there's more. We're honored that Nikki Roush will be offering our October Educational Series Skill Shop. So our $167 guarantee your seat rate ends Monday, October 22nd at 6 p.m. But we're also excited to offer a $200 ECN Buddy special. So bring a buddy and each pay $100. So that's a new special that I just opened up to make available to people who want to come and enjoy it with a friend. It's great to be able to attend networking events and skill shops with somebody else because then you can buddy up and make each other accountable for the material. So if you do not have a buddy, you can email me at Cindy, C-Y-N-D-I, at exceptionalconnections.com. And because you're listening to this call, I'll give you the code to roll back the clock to take advantage of our $127 early bird rate. So love to have you join us. So Sales Maven founder Nikki Roush is a coach, speaker, and best-selling author. During her 24-plus years of sales career, she's worked with large companies like Hitachi, and she's gained extensive knowledge in the art of relationship selling. Nikki has a track record for closing some of the largest deals in the history of the companies with whom she's worked, and as well as cultivating profitable customer relations. She's sold to organizations such as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Johnson & Johnson, Hewlett-Packard, Clark County School District, Seattle Public Schools, University of Washington, and even NASA. So Nikki's an accomplished and revered communications coach, speaker, sales trainer whose expertise includes distilling and clearly conveying complex information to broad audiences. So her two-hour skill shop is going to be focused on body language and selling, the art of subtle cues. And so body language and selling techniques are going to be taught to participants on how to direct and deepen rapport. And I'll tell you that a little known fact is that Nikki has never taught this workshop, skill shop, outside of with our corporate clients. So it's a rare opportunity for us in networking to be able to learn these effective techniques. People will come away with learning how to effectively use the power of their gaze, how to recognize ways to put clients at ease based on where they sit and how they engage with clients, and to have more influence and stay in rapport with prospects and clients. So love to have you join us. If your schedule is open on Tuesday, October 23rd, it's not too late to reserve your seat. So do contact me or go to https://ecn-educational-series-october.eventbrite.com or go to exceptionalconnectionsnetworking.com, our website, and go to events, and you'll be able to find her skill shop event that's coming up. So don't miss the fun. So thank you so much, Brian and Marcel, for making this such a fun bonus call. We'll have the replay posted later today. And for those of you who are joining us either live or on the replay, God bless you. Thank you so much. Take care. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.